Hello and welcome to the game. Despite the music that you hear right now, it is Friday.
What is today?
It is Friday.
I'm sorry, man. I realized that right when I hit it.
That's okay.
Like, gosh, I hit the wrong one.
It happens.
I'll get it in an hour or two.
I am joined today by Mitch Fortner, Corey Dean, Brennan Mentz on the other side of the glass. John Kurtz, as you may have heard earlier this afternoon, down in Kissimmee, Florida, for K-State baseball, which opened up its season earlier today, a loss to Ohio State. They'll be down there for another three games over the course of this weekend, and you can hear that action here on News Radio KMAN. In today's show, we'll talk about K-State basketball headed down to Austin, Texas for what you would really describe as a must-win, and you actually mean it this time. Sometimes you say that, and it's, well, you can still survive losing the game, like losing to TCU at home, something like that. Not really the case anymore. If you lose this one, I think that's just about all she wrote for K-State and their chances to go to the NCAA tournament. So we'll talk about that coming up here to lead off the show. We'll play the match game at 4:25. We'll have a couple of MHS regional wrestling updates from Hutchison as well. A really cool story about K-State running back Alex Barnes. We'll save that for toward the end of the show. A great way to enter your weekend. You will want to hear what happens there. Also an update on that supposedly top 10 KU football recruiting class. Yeah, it's not a top 10 recruiting class anymore. If you want to give us a call, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. Starting off today talking about K-State basketball. Like I mentioned, headed to Austin tomorrow for a game that will matter some to K-State fans, a little bit to Texas fans, and not at all to basically anyone else across the entire country, I would assume. But, well, maybe fans of other bubble teams if they're trying to get K-State off of that bubble and work their way in to the NCAA tournament. But it's not a game that's going to grab many headlines, but it is a game that K-State absolutely has to go down and win. The bleeding has to stop at some point, and you're playing arguably the worst team in the Big 12. Maybe you can say Oklahoma is, but it's basically a 1A and 1B, or I guess you could phrase it as a 10A and 10B in the Big 12. But in any case, K-State's got to take advantage of this opportunity tomorrow.
Five left, and you are running out of opportunities quickly to do anything that's impressive. And I tell you what, if you don't get this Texas game, I think that you're right, must-win gets thrown around. But I realize you got winnable games left, but you got to start getting them. I mean, you're almost to a situation now you about need to win out in order to be able to put up any kind of number that might put you in a spot where with a win in the Big 12 tournament, maybe you're a guy who can solidify that tournament ranking. You lose this one, and then you lose any of the next ones, I think you're probably done as far as NCAA tournament's concerned.
Yeah, K-State's 5-8 in Big 12 play right now. 9-9 would get them in. 8-10, you would have a chance of getting in depending on how things went in the Big 12 tournament. But I think that ultimately what we're thinking here is that if you lose this one, there should be absolutely no confidence that you're even going to be able to get to 8-10, because at that point, even right now, without having lost to Texas, I think that you can ask some questions about where this team is at mentally and physically. I mean, they are run down. They are hobbled. That's what we can see from them physically. And then mentally, when they do things like falling behind by 19 points against Iowa State in a game that you felt like they really needed to win that one, you kind of wonder what's going on the inside of their bodies or inside their heads as well. So this is kind of your back against the wall. Let's see what kind of fight and kind of a wounded animal kind of mentality K-State has to come out and play like tomorrow matters, because it absolutely does.
And let's just call tomorrow how it is. Let's not forget the fact that Texas right now has an RPI of 151. So tomorrow, in addition to being a must-win and the fact that the Cats just flat-out need a Big 12 win anywhere they can get one, that's an RPI landmine right there. And then you look next Saturday, you have Oklahoma at 169. Both of those games on the road against teams with sub-100 RPIs. And both those games, you can lump them in. You cannot lose either of them and expect to get in.
Actually, I think
I think that that's the way it is right now.
That's a really good point, actually, because losing to TCU at home was not ideal, and it was very frustrating.
It's
and
still a
and
top et cetera, 50 et cetera. Team, though.
Right.
Barely, that, but a top 50.
That loss, I remember, that loss dropped K-State's RPI two spots, I think. They dropped from like 43 to 45 with that. And this Iowa State loss, I think they dropped from 48 to 52.
They're at 55
or something
right
like
now.
That. Right? They may have dropped a little bit more over the last couple of days. But again, yeah, that those don't hurt you in the computers all that much. If you lose to Texas and or if you lose to Oklahoma, you're talking about dropping into that territory where at-large teams do not usually come from. After you drop out of the top 60 or so, generally, even for a Power 5 team, you're not seeing those teams get into the NCAA tournament.
If you're a K-State fan, you're not comfortable unless you win out at this point. I'm talking regular season. Road, home, whoever it's against, because the rest of these five games are in the bottom tier of Big 12 when it comes to opponents. You've beaten Texas once. It wasn't by much, but that was a long time ago. That's what's kind of scary right now because it's been a while since you've seen Texas, and they've actually pulled off some pretty impressive wins. Another storyline is, you know, what's the deal with DJ Johnson? How's that ankle going to be? Is he going to be ready to go? That's a big one because without DJ, the post presence is scary, and Texas has a little bit of height that they can attack you with.
Well, and that would turn into a free throw shooting contest at the end of that Texas game because Texas is making a comeback and the Cats get, like, what, 9 of 10, something like that, from the free throw line to close that one out to hold off for a pretty close win.
Yeah, that's right. That was the game that really wasn't closed the entire way. And
until
then,
the last 3 minutes.
And the Cats, I won't say tried to give it away, but nearly did. And the only reason they won that is you're right, because the Cats hit their free throws.
Texas is 10-16 overall this year, but Mitch raised a good point. They do have some decent wins. I mean, it's not like their only wins in Big 12 play have come like against Oklahoma at home or something like that. They did beat Iowa State in Austin, and that was just a few games ago that they knocked off ISU at the Frank Irwin Center. Also, they have a win over Texas Tech at home, which isn't great, but, you know, I mean, Texas Tech is a competent team. They've also beat Oklahoma State at home. All of their Big 12 wins, by the way, so far this year have come at the Frank Irwin Center, so they do play a little bit better there, even though it's usually like a third full or something like that, and I would assume that will be the case tomorrow as well. K-State's going to have to bring its own energy, which is something they did not show a lot of ability to do against ISU at home earlier in this week. So a lot of unanswered questions. There's no doubt about that, and if K-State is able to win this one, that's what really stinks about this game is that winning it doesn't really get you anywhere. You don't have a whole lot to gain from this one. You're not going to suddenly secure your spot in the tournament or anything like that. You're basically just trying to win this game so that you don't lose it, if that makes sense.
Well, win it so you just don't lose everything is what you're. So since K-State beats Baylor and then you have the close win against KU, this has not been the same team. Those two games back-to-back kind of gave you a little bit of like, all right, well, maybe this could turn a corner, and you just get blown up at West Virginia, and that game was over quick against Iowa State. So the wild kind of swings of basketball this season, I think, has just been frustrating from a fan perspective. It has to be frustrating from the team perspective, too. Dean Wade got 18 last time we played Texas. You got to have good Dean Wade to have a shot against the Longhorns tomorrow.
And well, a healthy DJ, I think.
Texas is a statistically very average basketball team. One big weakness that they have, and this has been a huge problem for them all season, and it's also something that K-State fans can relate to, as it was a huge problem for K-State last season. They are dead last in the Big 12 in three-point shooting, 29.6% on the season. That is not good. And I guess you could spin that into a positive by saying one of the biggest weaknesses with this K-State team has been defending the perimeter. So if Texas is not making their threes tomorrow, which they typically don't, then that's one less thing that maybe K-State has to worry about on the defensive end, because it's been a struggle for this team on that end in the last month or so.
I can't remember if Cole told me at the KU game or if he even said it here on the air, but he mentioned how K-State is right now on pace to have the worst defensive three-point shooting team in Big 12 history.
Mm-hmm. Currently on pace. Now, and three-point defense is, there's a lot of luck involved with that. And I remember, and I can say that for a fact, because last year, K K-State had the best three-point defense, and when that was pointed out a couple times by Bruce Weber, fans were like, well, that's just luck. Well, it's kind of bad luck when, to a certain extent. I mean, K-State is not defending well on the perimeter, but at a certain point, other teams are just getting really hot against you, and like things like Matt Thomas, I mean, not in this past game against Iowa State, but up in Ames, that's not going to happen all the time where a guy goes 7 of 10
right.
from 3, I mean, even in an empty right. gym. So there is some level of bad fortune to that, but again, it's, I guess you could say it's a good matchup for K-State because of the fact that Texas doesn't shoot it well from 3.
True, and you look at the schedule and you go, all right, well, you've got 5 before the Big 12 tournament, and they're all winnable games. At least there's nobody on that list that you're like, wow, you got no shot there. So that part's encouraging. It's just that a 5-game winning streak seems like an awful lot in a row at this point in the season.
We are going to head to our first break here on the show. We're going to talk more in the second hour about this game at Texas and what a loss could mean for Bruce Weber, whose seat has definitely been continuing to warm over the last month or so. When we come back, it's time to play the match game. Don't know if Corey has done that with us before. We're going to have to see if he can handle it better than maybe Mitch did the first time we played. I remember the first time we played the match game, you got your butt kicked.
Well, he probably remembers the actual game show when it was on.
Yeah, I'm old.
That's true. And now it's back on with Alec Baldwin as the host.
What?
Yeah, that's actually a thing. We're going to play the match game next on The Game.